You're listening to The Scene on Illinois Edition with me, Rachel Otwell.
And me, Scott Feingold, here representing the Illinois Times.
And we have an interview all the way from Champaign to share with you in person. We were really on the scene, weren't we, Scott?
Yes, we were. We were making the scene.
We were at the Art Theater in Champaign, so we'll have an interview from there just ahead. Mm-hmm. First, we still have a few things to talk about, though, in the region when it comes to art and culture. Friday at Demo Gallery in Springfield. Mm-hmm. What's going on, Scott?
Oh, there's a couple of shows opening because they now have the two different spaces there. They have the front space, which has been open for quite a while, and it's a little bit larger. It's that entire home-like gallery. And then the back space is a little smaller, and they use it for more compact shows. This time there's going to be a group show of different St. Louis artists called Nobody's Home. Different artists, including, I'm going to hopefully not butcher these names, Lyndon Barois Jr., Adelie Zagaty, Cole Liu, and Catalina Uyang. I think I might have butchered all of them, but they will be having a group show called Nobody's Home at the front gallery, and then in the back, A Forgetting Place, which is a site-specific installation from Mark Rospenda, who works out of South Bend, Indiana. So there are two shows happening there. The big opening is Friday at 6, so head on out for art and maybe the potential free cocktail at the demo project.
Saturday at the Radon Lounge, which, of course, people need to message the Radon Lounge for their address if they feel like being adventurous and haven't been there yet, but they have a show, eh?
Yeah, they sure do. Saturday at the Radon Lounge, a big show for them. Second one this month. I actually interviewed Jeff from the Radon Lounge this week and got the lowdown on all that. The show this week will feature a band called The Bone Setters, along with Blind Social, Eric Marvel, and readings from Ian Winterbauer, art on the wall, and food from the Copper Pot. So all kinds of fun happening over there. Big multimedia event as usual at the Radon Lounge. And if you want to know more about them, pick up this week's Illinois Times.
Looking ahead into the coming week, Monday at Black Sheep in Springfield, a show you wanted to mention?
Yeah, there's an interesting show happening at Black Sheep. A punk band from Brazil called Futuro is going to be playing, so that's pretty far out. So here's a little bit of what Futuro sounds like. That was Futuro from Brazil, who are going to be performing at Black Sheep this Monday, along with Livin' Thing, Spellbreaker, featuring friend of the show Claire Frisché and my son Noah Feingold on guitar, and a band called Weeping Iniquity. So check that out on Monday if you've got the time. Looks like a rockin' show.
Also in Springfield, coming up next week on Wednesday, April 19th, at the Lincoln Public Library in Springfield, the ACLU and Protecting Your Civil Rights will be the topic of a lecture slash conversation that's going on. It's free admission. And it says, join the ACLU of Springfield and the ACLU Communications Director to learn about it and what you can do to protect and advance civil liberties right here in Springfield. So I know there's a lot of people these days who are interested in getting more involved in their local community. So that sounds like one option some people might be interested in. Totally. So again, that is Wednesday, April 19th, 5 to 6:30 p.m. at the Public Library of Springfield.
Yay.
And so now we have an interview coming to you straight out of Champaign. Mm-hmm. Austin McCann, he is the Art Theater Co-op's general manager. But first, Scott.
Every week at the Art Theater Co-op, pretty much there's a film showing or two. This week, the one on display is T2, not Terminator 2, but Trainspotting 2, which is hasn't been to Springfield yet. I don't know if it will be by then, but it's a good opportunity to see that for any old school Trainspotting heads wanting to catch up with that crew. All the same actors, writers, and the same director who made the original Trainspotting. Here's a little bit of the trailer for that.
Choose life. Choose Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hope that someone somewhere cares.
Missed you, Mike.
I missed you too, Spud.
Choose looking up old flames, wishing you'd done it all differently.
Do you still take heroin?
No.
And choose watching history repeat itself.
Hello, Franco.
Simon.
I'm home.
Choose your future.
Call the police.
What shall I say?
Just tell them we're dead.
So that was a little bit of the trailer for T2 Trainspotting. And now we're going to talk to Austin McCann of the Art Theater in Champaign, where that's playing.
So this is a 104-year-old movie theater. It's the oldest continually existing movie theater in Champaign-Urbana. There used to be a lot more, but pretty much most of them, the rest of them closed, became other things. We've been a movie theater continuously since that time. So we're in the newly repainted lobby. And in the theater, we're a one-screen cinema. In our theater, we have a band setting up for their live score to a silent film tonight.
So cool. So that's what we're hearing a bit of in the background right now.
Yeah. So tell me how things are going, just sort of in general terms here at the Art Theater. I know that the landscape of presentation of this kind of film is really radically changed over the last several years. How are you operating within that paradigm?
It is a radically changed and changing industry, and we do our best to stay on top of what it is that people are interested in. We're actually doing really well. You know, I was brought on in 2012, and I've been directing and programming the theater since then. And while the landscape for the films that we bring in that are the kind of big features, play for 2 or 3 weeks, that's changing, and that's getting sometimes more difficult. There are exceptions to that. So we've had some of the biggest months in our entire existence since October, because we managed to get films that I consider pretty unprecedented in terms of the audience response and what they've meant to people. So we opened Moonlight exclusively in November, which radically changed things for a lot of people. And I mean, culminating in its Best Picture win, which to us was just ridiculous that happened. We loved it. But along with films like Moonlight, Manchester by the Sea, Loving, Jackie, you know, we had these big films. We had a film like I'm Not Your Negro, which we played, and one of our biggest opening weeks.
James Baldwin documentary.
Yeah, exactly, in the last 5 years, and it's a political documentary. And the fact that we're drawing out a bigger audience shows that we're actually finding new audiences to cultivate. We're finding political audiences that want to have really critical conversations, and we're building a space for that. And we're also doing just increasing amounts of special events, and that is still a thing that people really want to come out to cinemas for. Because yeah, I mean, it's obvious that we all have Netflix and Hulu and Amazon or whatever, and you can watch stuff at home, but we're trying to carve out that niche where there's actually a public space where we can watch these things, where there's a value. And then, like, for me as a film programmer, you know, for people to understand that what I do is actually a skilled labor, you know, it's skilled labor. Like, there's actually a logic and an artistry behind what I'm doing that is different than the kind of algorithms that Netflix has built in, which tends to kind of reinforce people's tastes more than it challenges them and provides curation.
Sure. It used to be you'd go and you'd see a film, and then people might have different reactions to it, and then you would, like, have a discussion about it. Now it's like everybody seems to have to know they're going to like it to be before they even get there, kind of, and not have a discussion afterwards. Like, you know, because if you start watching even a movie that you would have had that experience with on Netflix, you can just turn it off and flip to the next thing.
I think you're completely right. And that has been a challenge for me. As a viewer, I tend to be more interested in something that sounds unusual and different to me than something that I know what it is. But that's not the case for most viewers. Right. So what I've been trying to do in my programming is to give people enough of a familiar description mm-hmm. so that they can be drawn in while trying to make enticing the idea of engaging with something that is really different and new and not the same as what else we're mm-hmm. consuming. And when we can get people to the theater, and we've found creative ways of getting them to do that, right. the conversational component at the end of the film is really necessary to offer some different ways of engaging with media.
You've been successful mm-hmm. At that. Was it surprising that you've been able to be successful doing so in Central Illinois, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, it's I have a strange mixture of optimism and pessimism about these things. When things work, it's like, okay, great. And when they don't work, it's like, well, yeah, what did you expect? But, you know, we've had enough things fail and enough things succeed that it's a matter of finding the balance. And yeah, I mean, it's still surprising in a lot of ways that we can, you know, get 150 people out to see some very experimental documentary and stay for the discussion afterwards. At the same time, you know, it's a small community that we have here. Like 150 people is a lot, but it's not a different 150 people every time coming to the screenings. I mean, you know, we do see different people and new people coming in for each screening, but, you know, we're trying to build, all we need is a small community here. You know, we're a single screen cinema. We don't need, you know, we don't need 100,000 people coming here all the time. And I think we've done a good job to be really consistent and dedicated and welcoming to the people here to try to make the offer that we're making.
Now, you talked about having special events.
So we're about to finish a film series that we've been doing since January called Affirmation and Resistance Black World Film Series. We've done this in concert with two social justice groups in town, and we're focusing on black film broadly conceived. So we started off with a Martin Luther King Day screening of the documentary The Murder of Fred Hampton, who is a Black Panther, mm-hmm. and we more than sold out our theater for that event. I mean, we had people sitting on the ground. It was huge, and we had five people on a panel doing a discussion about Fred Hampton, the legacies of civil rights, the more radical Martin Luther King. It was a huge event, and then that led to some other screenings. You know, we did another huge sold-out event for I Am Not Your Negro. We managed to get a promo screening of Get Out, which is, you know, one of the big success films of this year. Cooley High, we just did Blade, the horror film. And we're finishing with the new restored print of Black Girl, Simbene's Senegalese film, which, you know, kind of kickstarted African cinema. So that's another one that we do. It's this kind of curated series with, we always do discussions afterward and, you know, bring out audiences for those kinds of things.
You call the art theater a community theater. Explain to people what that means.
The programming that I do, I think, is really entirely for the people who live and work near us. That isn't to say if somebody wanted to fly from New York to come see something, we wouldn't love it. But it's, you know, I'm not living somewhere else and programming for a bunch of cinemas. I'm rooted in this community. I live here. I see who is around. I see where there are gaps in representation. And I try to offer a program that I think specifically will be meaningful to those folks mm-hmm. who are around here and who come in here. So I think about who they are as people. I think about what it is that they want. And this is a business practice, you know, I mean, because that's how we stay in business, but it's also something much more than that. It's something about thinking about how to improve the lives of the people who are around here and what we as artists can offer to that.
And then just as a practical matter, I'm standing where I can see, you know, the popcorn machine, and some people's mind will be blown by the idea of, like, getting a beer or a glass of wine while you watch a movie. So just saying, that's out there.
Yeah.
And then for people just to say, stay abreast of what shows are going on, what's the best way to do that?
Oh, checking us out online is really good. I mean, we update our website, so theartheater.coop. I also write a newsletter every week, which has like specific details about showtimes and special events we have coming up. And you can sign up for that on our website.
For more information about the Art Co-op Theater in Champaign, head to illinoisedition.org. We will link you to the newsletter and to their website. You can follow them on Facebook as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, we'll stay in touch with you. This is awesome. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So that was our interview with Austin McCann, the general manager of the Art Theater Co-op in Champaign. Which brings us to the end of this episode of The Scene with me, Rachel Otwell, and Scott Fingold of the Illinois Times. Scott, what do we have for Song of the Week?
This is a song. It came out a little bit earlier this year, but I hadn't heard him before. It was an artist named Zeshan B., and it's a song called "Crying in the Streets." A Chicago soul artist who identifies as Muslim, and this is a particularly enjoyable track. So check it out. This is our song of the week, "Crying in the Streets" by Zeshan B.
I see somebody marching. Marching down the street, yeah. I see somebody marching. They're marching down the street, oh yeah. This time we stop and pray. Somebody died.